Thessalonica might pray for him, and of course he's praying for them. And his desire for them is that they might be guarded from the evil one, guarded from Satan. And our conversation turned upon some ways in which God might actually do that. And the comment was made that one way in which God guards us from the evil one, from Satan, is through the persecutions themselves, which, when all is said and done, should make us stronger, give us more resolve, and bring us closer to the Lord. It was kind of an outside-of-the-box way of thinking of things, but it made a lot of sense and actually is a very biblical concept. And then we sang the song, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Always, that song has been one of my favorites. Although it seems of late, my favorite is always the last song I just sang. But I've always enjoyed the song, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." But I hadn't thought so much about the first verse where it speaks in this fashion. "Nearer, My God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, in though it be a cross that raiseth me." And that last turn of phrase, "in though it be a cross that raiseth me." Our desire to be near to God, even if we approach that nearness because of the sufferings we go through. You know, Christ told us in Matthew 16, we need to bear our cross and follow Him. And our cross are those matters of surrender and sacrifice, sometimes even suffering, which have a way, if we allow them to bring us closer to, not further from, the Lord we serve. Now, the song itself, "Nearer, My God, to Thee," goes back a long time, but it was written as a song for a sermon back years ago. Oftentimes, preachers would have poems and sometimes songs composed just for that sermon. And this was a case in point where it was written to serve as a song to go along with a lesson on Genesis chapter 28. And that the story of Jacob who's running away from Esau. And of course he, by some chicanery, has been able to secure the birthright. And through outright deception, he's been able to steal away the blessing. And Esau doesn't take it very well. Now, much of this has been because of the urging of Rebekah, Jacob's mother, but Jacob is fully complicit in all of this, and he's not blameless. But his mother thinks it best for him to leave and go to her brother Laban's place and find a wife there. But really the reason he's leaving is less about that and more to save his own skin. It might seem as if he's leaving looking for a wife, but actually he is fleeing for his very life. Because Esau has intent to kill him for what he's done in taking away his birthright and the blessing that he thought, in fact, it was to be his. Now, couch all of this with the idea biblically from both the larger picture in Genesis and the further looking back on it from the New Testament passages, that God had chosen Jacob rather than Esau. And even though Jacob had tricked his father, he never tricked God. God had in mind exactly what happened. The means by which it got to that point, I leave that to God to understand the nuances of that. But the end result was exactly what God always had in mind. But it set up a time of tremendous suffering for Jacob, having to flee his family, go to a land foreign to him. And now he's out in the middle of the wilderness at night, and he lays down and he has a pillow for a stone for his head. And the second verse of the song speaks of that. Now, this is one example in the Bible where it's used again in the New Testament, but just once. When Jesus, in John chapter 1, talking with Nathanael, who is taken aback by our Lord being the Lord and having miraculous powers, telling Nathanael that you'll see greater things than this. And then references the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, just as those angels had upon the ladder in Jacob's dream in Genesis chapter 28. All of which kind of plays out in the song, Nearer My God to Thee. But before we sing the song, let's turn to Genesis 28 for just a moment and read together what transpires in the actual story. Let's begin in Genesis 28 at verse number 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now, almost verbatim, in some words exactly, it is the case that the promise made to Jacob here had been made to his father Isaac, and first to his grandfather Abraham. A great blessing for the world through that family, because especially in that family you have Judah eventually producing our Lord Jesus the Christ. But all of this tremendous blessing in terms of us and the nearness of God with Jacob and the Lord in this dream and from this point forward is upon the back of tremendous turmoil and difficulty, chaos, and a good measure of grace thrown in on top of that. And so based upon that, the song is written, Nearer My God to Thee. Turn to number 684 for just a moment. That's the song I'm referring to. Now, two things about the song, one of which may be true and the other is. Ever since the movie Titanic came out, I've been trying to find out, is it true or is it not true that this song was played by the band as the Titanic was sinking into the depths of the ocean? And some say it's myth, and some just believe with all their hearts it's a matter of fact, and nobody's left to be able to tell us anymore, and so I just don't know that. But this next I do. Back when Ted Turner started the Turner Broadcasting Network and CNN, they started that first ever 24-hour-a-day news service. They started it with the national anthem. And then they had pulled back this song played by the Army Band, Nearer My God to Thee. And it was reserved for, and this was Turner's idea, if we ever get involved in a nuclear holocaust and the network comes to an end and CNN is no more because the world is coming to a close, the last thing we'll do is play this video, which is still in their archives. I suppose if that time were to come, which the Bible says is not that way, but if it ever did, they'd be playing that little video and this song, Nearer My God to Thee. What does that mean to this lesson? Nothing whatsoever, but you've had time to get there by now, and I used up your time. 684. Nearer, my God, to thee,
nearer to thee, in though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Though like a wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upward I fly, still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee.
I turn now to Romans chapter 5, and we'll see how some of these things are so very, very biblical. Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, this hope he's talking about is something he discusses somewhat later, and also in other places in the New Testament it is brought out. And in all these texts, we are brought to the fact that the hope we talk about is not just a wish or a desire we have. It is a solid expectation, an anticipation, an assurance we have. In fact, we're not going to sing the song this evening, but the song Blessed Assurance speaks of the hope we have, which is an assurance that God will keep his promises. Well, so much of this is built into the gospel story. We have hope in heaven because of what Christ did for us. We believe what God has said. But he says one of the reasons we glory in the tribulations we face is because in point of time, after it works its way through the process, we find ourselves with character now having a measure of hope we wouldn't have had otherwise. We have a hope that's born of experience, a hope that's born of providence, a hope that's born of just seeing things work out. Yes, we believe that God will keep his promises after this life, but so many of us have seen his promises fulfilled in this life. And many of those wonderful promises we've seen fulfilled in life have not been in the absence of difficult times. They've been because of those difficult times. It's interesting how God can use the worst to bring out the best and turn the most dismal into the brightest and most hopeful. But that's just the way God has made things. You know, you'd hate to always be tearing the skin of your hands, and so if you work with your hands a great deal, you'll get some blisters, but if you keep working with those hands, those blisters will become calluses. And there's been effort and, yes, pain involved in the process, but when all is said and done, your hands are much better protected for hard work than they were before the blisters and before the calluses. And in somewhat of the same way, our difficulties serve for that purpose in our lives. None of us want to go through difficult times. If we had the choice, we'd say just as soon not. But looking back on so many of these times we've gone through, we realize that if we allow them to, they have molded us and shaped us and transformed us into something stronger than we were and somebody more hopeful than we were before, because we have even a stronger faith than we had going in. And I think that's exactly what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 5. When he speaks of this hope we have of the glory of God, but also this hope we have born of our own tribulations. Well, one more passage along this line. Turn to James for just a moment. The book of James. And look at chapter 1. Where he says in the first chapter now, verse 2. My brethren, account it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What's the opposite of the hope we've been talking about? Well, it's the doubt suggested here. Now remember, in my own mind anyway, this goes back to that comment in class about how God sometimes uses the tough times to shield us, to guard us, to protect us from the evil one by transforming us into the people we need to be stronger going forward. Well, the thing about difficult times, they can do two things to us depending upon the character we have. And remember, in Romans, Paul says that this persecution, it builds character. It sometimes does the opposite for those with little to no character to begin with. Paul talks about the same fire that refines the gold and burns up the stubble. And we've seen tough times bring out the best in some and drive away others from the Lord entirely. We always, as we or always want to mention, we're always in control of the decisions we make as to how to respond and react to things. But if we let this have its perfect work, as James says, and allow this to build character, as Paul says, we can be more in the place of hope and less in the place of doubt. Turn to number 763. Because when all is said and done, what we want most of all is what this song is suggesting. Oh, Master, let me walk with Thee. That song we sang at first, Nearer My God to Thee, and this one, it suggests an idea that is talked about a number of ways throughout the Bible. The Bible talks about people like Enoch and Noah walking with God, others who are the friend of God, those like Moses who see at least God's hindquarters, as it were, on Mount Sinai. But always there is this desire to be close, to be with, to be near, to be in fellowship with God, with the divine. Now, we long to be with the Lord and long to understand and be in the same place, be on the same page with God. To be free of sin is to be nearer Him. To be full of sin is to be farther from Him. And the point we're trying to make this evening is sometimes those things we see as obstacles to this, if looked at the right way, can actually be helps to this. Our most difficult times, when we are the most vulnerable, if we have the right measure of faith, can, when all is said and done, make us stronger. Sometimes we can't see it at the time. We can't imagine it at the time. But looking back, we say, yes, it made me stronger, made my faith fuller, and yes, made my relationship with the Lord even closer. 763. Oh, Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only Thou canst give, with Thee, O Master, let me live. I hope when all is said and done that every one of us can say that we, day by day and year by year, are drawing closer to the Lord. If you're here tonight and outside of Christ, you can change that by obeying the gospel. If you've walked away from Him, you can come back. He's always willing to forgive those who come back in penitence. Let's all do our best as we end this year and look forward to a new one, to draw closer and closer day by day to God in good times and even in bad. When things are going well and even when things aren't. Sometimes because they aren't. But if you need to come, come now. Together we stand and sing.